Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to this scripture, sermon, and prayer for Sunday, February 21st, the first Sunday in the season of Lent. Our opening sentences and prayer arise from Psalm 50. Unto you, O Lord, I lift up my heart. In you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Make your paths known to me, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Lord, I wait for you the whole day long. Remember your mercy and your steadfast love from ages gone by. Forget the offenses of my past, but remember me in your faithfulness. You are good and right. You guide the humble. Your ways are loving and sure toward all who keep your covenant. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning is the gospel reading for this first Sunday of Lent from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 9 through 15. Three of the four gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story of Jesus' sojourn in the wilderness, his 40-day wilderness trial. Matthew and Luke provide some detail regarding the so-called three temptations that Jesus experiences in the wilderness. Mark's telling of the experience is much more brief, 32 words in total. Listen carefully for the Word of God. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved One. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And the Spirit immediately cast Jesus into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tested by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. In typically Markan fashion, the gospel writer employs 32 words to tell an experience that his gospel colleagues take multiple more words to describe. Absent is the detailed conversation between Jesus and the tempter. Absent also the suggestion of turning stones into bread, the dare to leap from the pinnacle of the temple, and the offer of all the kingdoms of the earth. Mark's narrative seems reductionistic by comparison, and it is a challenge to take his brief telling on its own merit, without filling in the gaps with the details offered by Matthew and Luke. Yet it might just be those gaps that give us room to move in the territory of our own imagination and our own experience. Mark's portrayal does seem a little minimalist, which is not to suggest that Mark tells us nothing. To the contrary, he tells us much. Certainly enough that our imaginations can be activated. The Spirit drove Jesus, cast him, threw him, hurled Jesus into the wilderness. Right away, we learn that the experience was not of his own choosing, but was something required of him, whether he could appreciate its value at the time or not. Mark tells us he was in the wilderness. This is not a back-to-nature experience, as we might nostalgically look for one today, but rather a wild place, an untamed place, an unknown place, a place and situation where the ordinary and established means of orientation and survival simply do not apply. In Israel's experience, the wilderness was the East of Eden place. It was the place where the people found themselves after leaving Egypt. It was the vast expanse between their exile in Babylon and their home. Yet at the same time, the wilderness was also a place where the great prophets found their messages and where they often lived, simply because it was untamed by the powers that be. Jesus was there. In the wilderness, Mark tells us, for 40 days, a long time, enough time to be tested and found worthy or perhaps wanting, enough time to learn what needed to be learned. In the simple word 40, Mark reminds his hearers of the flood's 40 days and 40 nights. Required to purge the earth of its sin in Noah's day. Mark reminds his hearers of Israel's 40 years of wandering through which they learned to trust God for their daily bread. And Mark reminds his hearers of Elijah, the great prophet's 40 days to discover that God had not forgotten him. While in the wilderness those 40 days, Mark tells us that Jesus was tested by Satan. We must strike from our minds the devil of Hollywood and see instead a wily adversary, more interested in accusing than in frightening, more interested in finding fault, planting doubt, than in utterly destroying his opponent. The character of the adversary had a long history in Israel's lore. In some of their traditions, the story of Job, for example, the adversary had access to the very throne of God and believed, we might say, that every person had his or her price, that a person would do anything to save his own skin. This is the one who tests Jesus in the wilderness. And Mark leaves it to our imagination, the details of that testing. Jesus was with the wild beasts, Mark tells us. This detail was quite likely intended to highlight the isolation of Jesus' experience, absent any human interaction, for wild beasts reside only where human culture has not impressed its stamp. Such was the solitude, the loneliness of his situation. Yet despite the isolation, Jesus was not completely alone, for the messengers of God attended to him, short form angels. But again, the intention is less the supernatural kind of angel that we imagine, but a simple messenger, a minister of God. The storyteller was not trying to take the edge off Jesus' experience with this detail, but rather giving narrative voice to his conviction that there was no conceivable place or situation outside of God's presence, no matter what one's perception might be at the moment. As it had been spoken by the psalmist in Psalm 139, and I quote, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." Mark has told us all of this in very short order, just 32 words. leaving us room to reflect and imagine how the experience was for our Lord, but also, I suggest, leaving us room to reflect and imagine how the experience is for us. For as it occurred to me the other day, the temptations of Jesus and Lent as a season, particularly during the larger season of COVID time, describes our situation many times, repeated times throughout our lives. When Mark writes of Jesus being cast into the wilderness, many can identify with the experience of being cast into situations not of one's choosing. When Mark writes of the wilderness, the place where all familiarity is gone, many can identify with the experience of discovering that the familiar structures of life are no more to be found. When Mark writes of 40 days, a time long enough and then some, many of us can identify with an experience that leaves one wondering when, if ever, it will end. And when Mark writes of the adversary who reveals and accuses us at our most vulnerable point, many can point to their own vulnerabilities, and some are even their own worst adversaries. When Mark writes of the wild beasts whose howling sends chills down our spines, many know what it is to live in anxiety for what might be around the corner or in the shadows of their lives. And finally, when Mark writes of the angels ministering to Jesus, whether or not he consciously perceived their presence, I hope that in our moments of isolation, in our moments of struggle and testing, whatever they might be, I hope we can sense or at least trust that angels are present with us and that we might watch for signs of their presence. Students of Mark's gospel know that his is the unfinished gospel, ending with an empty tomb, fearful disciples, and no certainty regarding what might happen next, even on Easter day. Mark's telling of the testing of Jesus is similarly unfinished. While Matthew and Luke both report the tempter departing in decisive fashion and the experience coming to a successful conclusion, Mark gives no such report of Jesus' success or failure in the process and no definitive conclusion. One moment Jesus is in the wilderness, and then the next moment he breaks upon the scene proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Maybe too we can identify with this lack of conclusion. For in a way, whether for Jesus or for us, the wilderness, the adversary, the wild beasts are never finally left behind. And the angels are always with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we turn our attention to our prayers for this day, I invite you to take a few moments and gather your concerns, your thanksgivings, your wonderings, your celebrations. You may wish to pause the recording for a moment and do that, or do so in company with others if you are with others at this time. And after a moment gathering your thoughts and prayers and thanksgivings and celebrations, we'll speak our prayers together. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, your servant Jesus found himself in the wilderness where he was tested for what must have seemed a very long time. We pray for persons who feel as if they also are in a wilderness, wondering when their testing might end, wondering if they will survive it, including those who wait for vaccines, to deliver them from the isolation of the coronavirus, including those who wonder how they will survive troubled days. Those who carry heavy burdens from generations of racism. And those who fear for the well-being of the earth and its inhabitants. Caring God. Though Jesus was in the wilderness, he was not alone. You were with him through your angels who ministered to him. We are grateful for those messengers who remind us that we are not alone, not even in our wilderness times, including those who develop, produce, and administer vaccines and medicines. Those who administer food and financial relief for individuals and households. Those who work to bring justice for persons long denied justice. For those who care for the earth in all its wonder and fragility. As you did with Jesus, we pray you to see us through the wilderness and make us ready to serve you, even through the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, my friends, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with us always. Amen.